And all God's people said. And as you're standing, I'd like to read our Bible text this morning out of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And what we're looking at this morning is the abundant blessing of justification. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And we know that perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Father, we pray again and we thank you so much for your gracious visitation upon us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Thank you for the way you've been ministering to us in prayer, communion, and worship. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it's the living word. It is already powerful and sharp and able to do all that you desire. What we need, God, is a pure heart and a clean heart and a ready will. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins and our sins. We come before you now, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, under the grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We thank you for joining us this morning. For those that may be visiting for the first time, want to extend a welcome and a blessing to you. Maybe some are on vacation or just needing a place to come on Sunday morning. And we're glad you're able to be with us and to join in this worshipful time together. God is with us, and God is with you, and God is encouraging his people this morning. Amen? So when we see our text this morning, and we're looking at the abundant blessing of justification, there's three words here that we'll really capture in this teaching. The first word is peace, the second word is access, and the third word is hope. Because of his peace, it deals with our past. Because of the access we have, it deals with our present. And because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ, it deals with our future. These things get so, you know, moved by the Spirit, they get slain in the Spirit sometimes on Sunday. Years ago, a pastor, he was communicating on this text that we're learning this morning. And he had an illustration, and I'm going to borrow it right now. He was communicating that this young little boy was outside Buckingham Palace. And he was standing out there and with all the things that were going on. And he wanted to see the king. And he had talked to some of the guards and others that were there. And he made his request. "I want to see the king. I want to see the king." And basically they said, "Move on, little sonny boy. Move on." But at that same moment, this man, unbeknownst to him, came up to that little boy, and that man took a hold of that little boy's hand, and that little boy held that man's hand, and that man walked past the guards that were out there, and all of a sudden, all of them stood in attention. Little boy wondered why, and they were able to go into the palace and down the hallways and through various rooms, and finally coming into this one magnificent room, and in that room was the king. And the little boy was overwhelmed, and how did this happen? And the man holding his hand says, "I'm the Prince of Wales. I'm the son of the king." And my friends, this morning, whose hand are you holding? Because if you are holding the hand of Jesus Christ, he takes you right where you're at. You don't have to impress him. He's not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your humility and my humility. And he wants to take our hand. And he's the one and the only one that could lead us into the presence of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. And today we get to proclaim this. Many of you are familiar when you look at a Bible text like we're looking at in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. The word "therefore" is there. As you've been around Bible teaching, it's been communicated to you that you always ask the question, "What is therefore, therefore?" So you'll notice that when you arrive today and you've been visiting with people, You've never started a conversation off with therefore. I mean, you just wouldn't start it. You go, hey, how's it going? But you never start off with therefore. If you started off with therefore, that means that there's a basis of communication that had to happen earlier. So chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been communicated. It's on the basis of that. What happened? Well, what was communicated and is communicated today and is a part of the gospel message is that man is lost because of sin. We're hopeless. We're hopelessly dead. There's no power, no capacity that any man, woman, boy, or girl has to save themselves and to be right and ready for heaven. No attempts of man can change his future of death and judgment. We've all sinned and we're all guilty. And Paul, through the word of God, took great labors, almost like an attorney, just bringing forth this truth. In chapter 1, we're realizing that the whole world, without any religious background, sinned against God. We're all guilty. He deals with the morally righteous, self-righteous person. He says, you're guilty. He even deals with the Jewish nation. And they stand, well, we're not like anybody else. We're the chosen ones. And we're chosen by God. And we have the covenant of God. And we have the sacraments of God. And we have the circumcision. We have the law of God. And Paul says, no, you're guilty. You're standing on your own merits and on your heritage. That standing doesn't stand before God. You also are guilty. And then he makes it really clear in chapter 3 that all are guilty. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's why we have good news, my friends. As a matter of fact, if your Bibles are open, and hopefully they are, and if you are in Acts or Romans chapter 5 where we're at, you'll notice before chapter 5, there's chapter 3. And in chapter 3, it tells us specifically that where is the boasting in verse 27? It's excluded. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And he makes it clear that our justification is by faith, and it's faith in Jesus, and faith in Jesus alone. Jesus, this mathematical equation, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Don't bring anything of your life, your works, your duties, your religious fulfillments. Don't bring it to the table. It's always Jesus and only Jesus. And that's why we're saved. He's the one that justifies us. You'll notice in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified. Later on in Romans 8, therefore no condemnation. And in chapter 12, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourselves. So we have been justified, and that means that we have peace with God. I love it. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, the idea of peace with God. This world needs the peace of God. This world is in great trouble right now, and we need the peace of God. It's not the peace of a government or an individual or a movement. It's the peace of God. We're at war with God. And if we've all sinned, we're at war. The battle is between me and God. It's between you and God. And Paul is saying, guess what? When you come to Christ and you receive forgiveness for your sins, when he justifies you, the war is over. I was going through some photos of my dad, and currently there's a memorial in San Diego. Some of you might be familiar with it. It's on Mount Soledad in San Diego. It's on a high mountain, and it's been purchased, and it's a place where those who have given their life for our nation or have served in our nation, it's a war memorial. And my dad, I'm just looking at it, he's there because he was in World War II in the Army. It says on that he bravely fought from Normandy. Get this, Normandy, you understand that? He's a second wave in, received the Bronze Star. He fought in this 83rd Infantry in 5 major campaigns. He's just a young guy. He was only 18 years old. He was born in 25, so 18 years old. Young guy on the battlefields. And they were headed towards Berlin, and the war was over. And he told me the story, how he wanted to get home. He wanted to be home. He didn't communicate with his family. He ended up arriving in L.A., found a taxi, knocked on the door on Christmas Eve, said, Mom and Dad, I'm home. The war's over. And my friends, we should rejoice. The war between you and God is over. There's peace. Amen. There's no more battle. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. He's telling us in the scriptures today, the war is over. You've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, you who once were alien and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet you were reconciled. Romans 8, 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Colossians 1, 20, now by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Some might say, I'm not at war with God. I'm a likable person. I'm a nice person. I believe in God. I don't curse. I try to do the best I can. I try to live the best I can. I'm not at war. I'm not out doing vicious, sinful things and attacking people. And I would just say that without Jesus Christ, I would be rather confrontive and truthful, but I would say that I appreciate your sincerity and your honesty, but you're living for yourself. And without Christ, you'll never win. And it's only when we surrender to Christ. And if we don't surrender to Christ, then we'll be conquered by his judgment. At Christmas time, you've heard the expression, no God, no peace, no God, no peace. It sounds the same. But in your mind right now, use the letters N-O, no God, N-O, no peace. Now, that sounds the same, but use K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. And that's what you want to have. You want to have peace with God and the peace of God. Even Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it talks about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In my heart and your heart, as a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is an umpire. The Holy Spirit is ruling within our hearts. And we'll learn later on as we continue through the study in Romans that, yes, the war is over, but there's still a civil war within. Between the flesh and the spirit. And God's going to help us through his word. Learn how to get that daily victory. Positionally, we're forgiven. We're justified. We're right for heaven. But how do we live a life that glorifies God on earth? Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. Now we go to verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Access is an important thing. And we think about significant people, and sometimes if you know somebody that is well-known or celebrity or an athlete or someone that's accomplished a lot of things, sometimes in a conversation, you might like to drop their name to a friend. I know such and such. I know such and such. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like I have some sort of status or I have some significance because I know this person of significance. Kind of a third-party manipulation is what it is. My friends, we need to be secure in who we are in Christ. And when we're secure in Christ, the greatest thing we rejoice about is that I know him and he knows me and he lives within me. And that's the most secure thing. So have this access because you have peace with God. You have an invitation from God and it's an invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, let's just for a moment find some rich, rich application right now. Because this access is an access, unfortunately, we fail to really utilize and to move in upon. We have the access. We have the hand of Christ. But unfortunately, we're still staying outside on the other side of the fence. And God wants to change that right now through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit and through the encouragement of your pastor in this message. Think with me for just a moment. There was the prodigal. And we know that the prodigal sold out his dad, brought shame to the family, lived recklessly, was bankrupt, and in his mind it said he came to his senses. And every one of us need to come to our senses, realizing, what have I done? What have I been doing? What have I forfeited? Is there any hope for me? And I say right now, 100% confident, yes, there's hope for every believer. There's hope for every person who's not a believer to come to faith in Jesus Christ. How do you know? Pastor, what are you saying? Are you just trying to give us some pastoral encouragement on a nice Sunday? No, I'm giving you the living truth, the Word of God. Because that son, when he came back, the father said to his servants, you bring out the best robes and you put a ring upon him and you put sandals on his feet. God wants to dress you and me up. He wants to dress us up in his righteousness. He wants to help us understand that we are royalty because we're related to the king and we're children of the king. He's our king. He's our Lord. And we need to live with the understanding the war is over. We have peace with God. We need to live with the understanding that we have been adopted by Jesus Christ. We have access. And that means if you have access, just think for a moment. I don't know about you. I have been on first class a couple of times, not because of my out-of-pocket cash, but because the person at the counter was very gracious. And I remember my wife and I one time on a long flight being able to be in first class. It's just like, are you kidding me? How could I ever ride in the cattle car again? It's like, this is unbelievable. Excuse me, flight attendant, can you shut that curtain? I mean, there's the people back here. I'm in first class. And you load the plane first, you know, so you're sitting in your wide leather seat. How you doing? How's it going? How you doing? Good. I mean, there's just this, there's a sense of arrogance and pride in me. I apologize. But this is amazing. And when you have that ride, it's just like unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing. And you want to do it all the time. But my friends, once you go into the royalty of Christ, once you go to that throne of grace, why would you settle to ride in the baggage compartment anymore? My friends, this is not positive thinking. This is God's word. Positive thinking, biblically speaking, is garbage. We need God's word and his truth. So who am I? You're a child of God if you've accepted Christ. What does that mean? It means you've been justified. What does that mean? It means there is no account of your sin in heaven anymore. If that doesn't make you just spring up. And then all of a sudden you realize, I'm not at war with God. My battle wasn't against my wife or my kids or my boss or governor or anyone else. My battle's been against God. And God, the war is over. And his peace now rules within my heart. And not only that, he's just not, you have to sit on the sidelines. He says, I want you to come into the court. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 22, therefore, brethren, having boldly to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated to us through the veil, that is his flesh, having the high priest over the house of God. Now, without a background, biblically speaking, just give me 2 minutes here. Prior to this, prior to Christ going to the cross and dying for our sins, the only way to relate to God was once a year to go to the temple. And you go to the temple, and in the temple, behind a curtain, very thick, large curtain, was the high priest, sanctioned to be there. And the high priest represented the people before God. And it was the high priest that represented all the people before God. And it happened once a year. And as close as you could get would be in the courtyard. When Christ died on the cross, that veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, so significantly proclaiming to the world, not only is it finished, his death, burial, and resurrection, not only is it the satisfying work for the sins of mankind, not only that, now, all of us have access individually. You do not need any other person to go before you to God. You go. He's the high priest. You take the hand of Jesus and you enter into that and you have access. He did this. He did it boldly. He did it by his blood. It's a new living way. And it says that is through the veil, his flesh. Using terminology, his flesh was given as a veil. It's him who's made the provision for us to enter in. So the encouragement right now is we need to go into the throne room of God more often than we ever had. He's waiting for us. He's calling us royalty. He's saying, come in. Come in by the blood of the Lamb. Come in by Jesus Christ. Come in. I'm waiting for you. We need to be thinking about that. In Hebrews 4, it tells us in verse 14 through 16, listen up now. Seeing then we have a great high priest, he's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast the confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You say, why? Pastor, I've been going through a really hard time. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I believe in the Word of God. And, you know, I'm seeking God. But I've just had a really, really hard time. And I'd have to ask, have you been there? Have you been where? Have you been there? Where? Have you been to the throne room? Have you entered into the throne room? Have you entered into the throne room? Have you sat in the throne room? Have you just taken time in the presence of God? So much can be accomplished in that meeting with Him. I encourage you, as I encourage myself through the Word of God, I need more time to come boldly to the throne of grace. What a fool I've been to ignore that calling of His. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm lowly and gentle in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. It tells us in Romans 8, 14 through 17, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we call out, Abba, Father. So everything that I'm talking about today, everything I'm proclaiming today is from the Word of God. This isn't some sort of spiritual pep talk during COVID-19. This is, my friends, laying down the riches of God's Word and the truth of God's Word and the love of God's Word. He loves you. He died for you. He lives for you and for me. So what does that mean? It means we've been justified. Amen? It means we have peace with God. The war's over. Amen? It means that we have access to come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? Amen. That's right. And then you said one other thing, Pastor. You said there's peace for the past, the war's over, access to the present. And then you said there's hope for the future. That's what I said, but it's in God's Word. Notice again, as we see the last part of verse 2 and then moving on, in this grace in which we stand. So by the way, it's grace that we stand in, and it's grace that we stay in. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And for most of us, we like that message to stop right there, because the next verse 3 says, not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Pastor, what are you doing? Glory in tribulations? I liked all that first part. What's this tribulation part about? Well, let's read it. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through Jesus Christ. The Lord knows. So understand, this hope that He's providing, it's a hope that we need, and it's a hope that He brings to us through the trials. And that is a hard, pressing circumstance of pressure that comes on us. He allows that to happen. Am I in trouble? No, not necessarily. What does it mean? It means God loves you. What else does it mean? He means He wants us to grow up. He wants us to understand who He is. He wants to strengthen us. My friends, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. When I got saved in 1978, I had no idea. All I wanted to be was a follower of Christ, a hard business person, making lots of money, being a part of the church, supporting things, and setting up chairs and taking down chairs however I could. I mean, that's just it. I mean, I'm sold out to the Lord, but my direction. But God has different plans. And God, in those plans, He reveals things to us. And the only way we grow up spiritually is by submitting to what He allows. He allows hard times and difficulties. Paul would say himself, we are hard-pressed in 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side, not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. There's a sense of trials or tribulations, and it's how God works. God turns up the temperature, but he's wanting us to be patient, and he's wanting us to abide in Christ under the pressure. Tribulation is pressure being applied. You feel the squeeze. How can you have a joyful attitude? We have a joyful attitude because we know God is at work, and he's producing something in us, and something that we don't know we need, but he knows we need it. You can take the situation we're in right now. I was up in Canada I was actually the last speaker at their church in Calgary in the March, or the beginning of that time frame, and it was the last service they were able to have. It was right after that things began to happen there and here. And you have to make determinations. So we made a determination initially on, God, you've allowed this and he's still allowing it, but what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Are we just going to get in a corner and pout and be opinionated? Or are you going to, God, I'm just going to use this time. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to meet with other pastors. I'm going to begin to understand what's going on in our state, what's going on in our community, what's going on in our nation. I want my heart and soul to be awakened to what you have. You want your people to receive God's word. That's because you called the church together. You called the church together not to have silent Sunday. Not to have silent Sunday. That's not from God. And so we did the best we could. The reason you have the fruit of this morning, because back in March, we kept going. And we kept going with a little iPhone and with a couple extension cords. And after that, it's like, well, let's take the next step. So we bought computers and just began every step of the way. Every week, seeking God. God taking the next step forward. Not being pushed back, but deliberately seeking God. You've allowed this time. We want to persevere. We want to persevere in faith. We want to persevere in grace. We want the blessing and the benefit that you have for us and for the church. We want to be able to speak and proclaim. And people will say to me, and it's been pretty challenging, not outside the church, more in the church, in the body of Christ. And all kinds of scriptures people use not to have something like this today. But I tell you, my friends, I understand what submission is, and I'm submitting. And I submit to God, and I seek his will and his purposes. You don't think I don't care about every person here and about your well-being? You don't think I take maximum caution throughout the week, everything lining up? I care about you. I was at St. Joseph's Hospital yesterday because of Frank. He said, please share. So Frank, last week, actually before the service, we were praying for him on the phone, but he's at St. Joseph. He asked me to share this today. I went up because he called me later in the day and said the doctor came back and he has incurable cancer and just a few months to live. That's what the doctor said to him. That's what he said. Share it. And so I says, obviously, surgery is not an option. There could be a supernatural work of God. He says, I like that option. So he asked for prayer for that, praying for him. And you know, I've been to, I would think, almost all the hospitals in the Northwest, Seattle, and everything through 35 years of ministry. I don't jeopardize anyone. I go in, I got masks, I have gloves, I'm at a desk. They're not going to let me in, but after about 25 minutes, they allowed me to just go to his bedside. And I love Frank. He wasn't wearing a mask or anything, and just talking to him, be able to pray with him. Because that's what God has asked me to do. I'm going to trust God. I've trusted God. He's asked me to do this. I'm going to trust God. Trust God. You come together like this today, and we're together like this right now. And God's ministering to you. And you need this. There's only so much you can do. We can do online. We need face-to-face. Don't forsake the gathering together. For in it, love and good works. People say about submission and government and laws. Listen, an abortion law by the Supreme Court has been in existence for almost 50 years, and I'm not quiet about that either. Okay? So there are laws, rules, and regulations. I understand it. But I work hard towards the purposes of God and for his people. And ultimately, I stand accountable to him. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? It has everything to do. Because we're talking about, I have peace with God. I fought God. I lived rebelliously from God. There's a lot of people I needed to seek forgiveness from. But I have peace with God. I've never proclaimed any sense of perfection. I need Jesus every day. I need his forgiveness. It's amazing that he would even consider allowing me to go into his throne room. I know who I am. How would you do that? Because my grace. Because I love you. Because I adopted you. Because you're my child. Because my son's taken your hand. Because you've taken his hand and you received the forgiveness through the marks on his hand. Because of that, you've been justified. Because of that, you have hope right now. So my friends, don't be despairing. God will never disappoint you. God will never disappoint you. Don't be discouraged. Look up. God's in control. Let the Holy Spirit have dominance in your life and your heart. At this time, the worship team's going to come up. They're going to lead us in one other worship song. And during this worship song, we're going to get ready to have a baptism. So stay right where you're at. And we're going to move forward as they're getting ready here for that. I'd like to pray. So Heavenly Father, so gracious and so thankful to be here. Thank you, God, for your encouragement. Thank you for your word, your living word. Thank you, Lord, that you know us. I pray this morning right now for those here and others watching. My friends, if you find yourself in a place and you've really never surrendered to God, you're still at war with him. Don't blame another person. Don't blame a family member, a spouse, parents, other people. Don't blame anyone else. Look to God. That's where the battle is at. Surrender to God right now. Just say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. My life has been about me. I've been wrong. I've offended you and sinned against you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept Christ for my sins in Jesus' name. And perhaps that's something that you said in the past, but today you really want to recommit and you realize, God, I've been humble today. I've ignored your grace. I've been hopeless. I haven't come into the throne room. I've been looking to other people to meet my needs, and it's not right. You want to meet my needs. So Heavenly Father, humbly we come and continue to minister to each of our hearts. Continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Renew us, God, in your word. Help us to leave here today being blessed and being encouraged and being hopeful. Being able to say, God's got it in control. Being able to say, he's allowing things to make me more like him so he can use me more for his glory. And that I rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.